man.
Hello. Okay. A man was taking it easy, not just like that megaphone we just heard, huh? But a man was taking it easy. He was sitting in the field and looking up at the clouds, and he was describing the shapes. And then he decided that he would start talking to God. And so he asked God, he said, God, how long is a million years? And God answered, from my perspective, a million years is just a minute, just like a minute. And then the man asked a second question. He said, God, how much is $1 million? And God heard his question. He responded, to me, $1 million is just like a penny. So the man thought about it some more, and he asked God, he said, God, can I have a penny? And God said, in a minute. A million years, or an eternity. And this last month, we've been talking about what happens when we die. We've talked about how for the believer, they are in the full presence of Jesus. We've talked about the unbeliever experiences a fiery separation and punishment from God. We talked about our immortal, imperishable bodies. And today, we want to focus on those million years. Those million years, or for all of eternity. What happens for us for all of eternity? How does knowing that affect our lives today? Let's turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at Revelation 21, 1 through 8. What happens to us for all of eternity? How does that affect our lives today? Now, John here, we're picking it up at the end of Revelation. We're picking it up, chapter 21. John is talking about the vision that he has received from God. It's a revelation, and he's gone through what is going to happen in the last times. And as we've gone through Revelation, we're going to see people have different views of what is going to happen in the last times. Most of me personally and many on our staff, we believe in a pre-trib, pre-millennial view of the last times. And that means that right now we're in this church age, but the next event in human history will be a rapture when Jesus comes back. And last week you said that's when we're going to get those non-flabby bodies, right? Those six-pack abs is when Jesus comes back. That's when we're going to get it. But then for the pre-trib view is that there will be 7 years of tribulation. And then there will be Jesus' second coming to set up a 1,000-year reign of Christ called what we call the Millennial Kingdom. It'll be a reign on earth of perfect rule and righteousness. And then there will be the final judgment, where unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And we're picking up in chapter 21, where we will enter the eternal state. All right? So picking up, that's where we're at. We've done a fast forward through the book of Revelation, but picking up in Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." So this is end time language. We're going to have a new heaven, a new earth. The first heavens and earth have passed away. And this is marked in particular by this phrase, "there was no more sea," which is pretty interesting, right? Because for those of us who are in geography, what percentage of our current earth is sea? Yeah, something. Okay, very good. Something like that. So this new heaven and new earth is going to be without the sea. Now, I don't think that it's going to be void of water. There's talks of rivers of life. I think it's literal and figurative. But apparently, you know, 71% of the sea is not going to be there. But the point is that there's this new renovated earth. Now, verse 2 tells us this is a vision, okay? John has this vision, this revelation. In verse 2 tells us that he sees the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And so what we have here is new Jerusalem coming down to earth. And so heaven is more of a sense of heaven coming to earth, or this new Jerusalem coming to earth. Then he uses another metaphor. He says, "prepared as a bride," at the end of verse 2, "prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So this is not just merely geography of heaven coming to earth. This is community as well. This is people who are in this new Jerusalem who will then come to the earth. We don't know exactly who these people are, if they're Old Testament saints or New Testament saints who have these new glorified bodies, or both. But it's described as a bride. And since Randall is not with us and Foon, I can pick on them. And, you know, this image of the bride has this sense of someone who is pure and clean. And this is an ideal of what the church, what the people of God are to be, and thus what we hope to be today, as we know that this is one day what we will become. So it's a people as well as a place. And then verse 3, we start to move from the sight to the sound, right? You remember what you see. You remember 50% of what you see. You remember of 30% of what you hear. You remember 80% of what you see and hear. So now we're going to hear a voice. Verse 3, "I heard a loud voice from the throne." So this is God or an angel or Jesus saying, verse 3, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." So John is describing what he hears now, this voice. And basically what he's hearing is that this eternal state will be a state of relationship, of relationship of God with his people. He basically repeats the same thing 4 or 5 times. And so, friends, what God is saying is, I will be with them. I will come. And I will dwell with them. We're going to hang out. No, we're going to hang out. Right, guys? I'm going to come, and I'm not God, but let's just, you know, this is part of the example. Right, boys here in the back row? Max? We're going to hang out. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. I'm going to dwell among you. I'm going to tabernacle among you. And it's this sense of, thank you, brother. It's this sense of, we're going to have a relationship. And we see this in verse 7. Can you look at verse 7? It talks about, and he says that again, that I will be his God and he will be my son. We're going to have a relationship. Right, Daniel? All right. So, you know, the nest is starting to get empty. You know, the nest is my firstborn, 3 or 4 months. Start to fly away. Right? So I want to be with my children. I want to have a relationship with them. I do get to hang out a lot with my youngest. And so recently we've just been enjoying riding our bikes to the junior high. And he likes to go out and run a mile. I don't know. We just enjoy hanging out, building a relationship, riding our bikes together. And, you know, that's what God is going to have with us in all eternal state. He's going to be with us. He will be our God. We will be his people. But then in verse 4, he comes back and he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Isn't the eternal state going to be great? No more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more crying. No more of what happened last week in Sri Lanka, where suicide bombers ran into churches, hotels, set their bombs off, and over 300 people died. No more death. No more pain. No more hatred. No more murder. No more violence. Isn't the eternal state going to be great? And even at a more personal level, no more political battles at work. No more failed exams, because there's going to be perfect love. All these first things will be passed away, and it's going to be great. And, you know, we can long for that. We can desire that. We can want Jesus to come back to set the eternal state into motion. So as we see how, knowing that this is all going to be the case, relationship with God, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more sleepless nights because our children are sick. we can long for the eternal state. We can pine. That's kind of what the word pine means, to long for, pine for the eternal state. So, friends, it's fine just to sit back on a day and say, hey, heaven's going to be great. The eternal state's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. We can do that, okay? But reading on, in verse 5, he says, he continues to hear the voice of God, and it says, he who was seated on the throne, okay, again, this is coming from God or his angels or Jesus, or this one is most likely God the Father or Jesus. Behold, I am making all things new. And then he also said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So God is commanding John to write these things down. Why is that? Well, because, you know, John, he may have a little dementia as he gets older. So he needs to remember it for himself, but not only to keep it for himself, but to share it with others. John needed to proclaim these truths, these comforts, these promises to himself continually and to others. So knowing that we're going to have this great eternal state, we can ourselves pine for the eternal state, but also proclaim the eternal promises. Proclaim the eternal promises. Look at some of these promises also in verse 6. He said to me, it is done. It's kind of interesting that this is a vision for the future, but it's a future that will surely happen. It's going to be accomplished. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What's Alpha? It's the first letter in the Greek alphabet, the Omega. Last letter, the beginning and the end. I'm outside of time, okay? And this is going to be true. This is going to happen. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. God will bring us to a place of blessing. A place of blessing as if we're thirsty. And we get a drink from the spring of the water of life. Blessing. Eternal satisfaction. And with grace, without payment. This is not something that we work for or earn for because of our religion or our good deeds. And so these are the promises that we can proclaim to ourselves and to others, to believers and unbelievers. And just this last Monday, I was having lunch with my dad, who's 89 years old. And I told him, I said, Dad, it was Monday after Easter. I said, Dad, you know, yesterday we talked about immortal bodies. And we have the promise that because Jesus rose from the dead, that Mom is not going to stay in the grave. Mom will have an immortal body. And so I was able to proclaim this promise to my own dad over all-you-can-eat lunch at Kim Son Vietnamese buffet. And, you know, my dad, unfortunately, he wasn't too interested. He kind of said, son, let's not talk about moving. Let's not talk about Jesus right now. Let's just eat. I said, well, okay, you know, but we're working with it. But this week, you can proclaim the promises of eternal promises to believers and unbelievers around you as well. John was to do that. We can do that as well. And then, finally, in verse 8, But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So it is a reality that, as Minister Randall brought us the sermon 2 weeks ago from the Word of God, that eternal separation and punishment in hell is a reality for those who are outside of Jesus, for those who have not received his payment for their sins. And so not only can we ourselves long for and want Jesus to come back, pine for the eternal state, not only can we proclaim the eternal promises, but we also want to pray for eternal deliverance. We want to keep praying and proclaiming to our friends and family who are outside of Jesus the eternal rescue, the eternal salvation, the eternal deliverance that is found in Jesus, and proclaim the eternal promises. Again, as we say, maybe just start by praying for the person and telling them, God bless you. Anybody have a chance to tell someone, God bless you this week? Great. Keep it up. You can start with that. You know, pray for the person. Tell them, God bless you. Later on, as Dr. Ting encouraged us, ask them, how can I pray for you? I believe this is something that each of us can do. All right? And let us keep praying for the unreached people group of the day. Again, this is something that all of us can do. Today, it is the Lohana in India. So go to joshuaproject.net, download the app, and every day at dinner, you can pray for those who... For the unreached people of the day. And in our family, we try to do this many dinners. We don't make it every dinner, but many dinners, we just pray. In fact, let's pray for them right now. Lohana, would you right now, you can pray out loud, just pray that God will send out laborers to the Lohana in India. Dear Lord, just pray that you will send out laborers. Bring them the gospel. Amen. Okay. According to Matthew 9, 35 to 38, pray that God will send out laborers to the harvest. So friends, the eternal state, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. And as we look and know that this will happen today, we can pine. We can long for, we can expect that eternal state. We can proclaim the eternal promises, and we can pray for eternal deliverance. And if you are in here this morning and you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to do so today. Now, you guys remember Liz? Liz and her family were among us a year ago. She had terminal cancer, and she went to be with the Lord May 7th of last year, almost a year ago. But she was here with us. She was worshiping with us. She came to our Super Bowl party a year ago. She has three children. They're now, youngest, I believe, is about two and a half. And Lydia. Anyway, I've been keeping in touch with Michael, her husband. was have been texting him, text messaging him. And he said it would be fine for me to share with the church family. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for Michael. He is now relocating to Florida to be around the grandparents so that they can help out more. He's looking for a new job. His youngest is with Liz's mom right now in Alabama, but Liz's mom is planning to move to Florida to help out as well. So please pray for them. Pray for them. But you know what? And I texted him this last week. I said, Michael, take comfort that because of the resurrection, Liz will have an immortal, imperishable body. And friends, that's going to be a cancer-free body. Cancer-free. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. No more sorrow. I will be their God. They will be my people. The first things have passed away. Eternal state. It's going to be great. Pine for it. Proclaim the eternal promises. And pray for eternal deliverance. Father, we praise you that you are the eternal God. Praise you that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, help us to want to see Jesus and to want to see him more than anything in this life has to offer. Thank you for the promise of eternal relationship and freedom from sin and pain and death. Help us to hold true to that in our own hearts and to pray for that and proclaim that to the world around us. In Jesus' name.